Welcome to Shattering This, a program devoted to the most important segment of society. To those of you who have come to realize that the world's religious, political, military, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they're all counterproductive and not one of them can be fixed. Our phone numbers, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, and the first hour will be with my good friend IQ Al Rasooli, is toll free 877-376-45. IQ, I'd like to begin after welcoming you. Hello, how are you this fine day?
Thank you. Very well.
Good. I want to read a statement that I wrote this morning, and then I'd like you to comment on it, and then I'd like us to discuss it in some detail.
Okay.
Islam was conceived as, became, remains, and is documented as an international crime syndicate. It inspires, condones, and perpetrates fraud, false witness, theft, adultery, and sexual abuse, including discrimination, genital mutilation, pedophilia, and rape. It sponsors terrorism for purposes of control, armed robbery, kidnapping, and the slave trade, as well as forced prostitution as its principal means of financing itself. It subjugates, humiliates, and taxes or murders all who do not capitulate. Once part of the syndicate, death becomes the only way out. As a result of these irrefutable facts, Islam must be declared illegal, banned, and isolated. What do you think, my friend?
I cannot disagree with you on any of them, because that is exactly what they are. That is exactly what Islam is. Starting with chapter 8, as you mentioned once before, Al-Anfal,
yes.
Meaning mm-hmm. booty, plunder, spoils of war. That's it.
Now, while somebody might say, well, conceived as, well, you know, the 8th surah is not the first surah of the Quran. Well, actually, the first surah is not a surah at all. It wasn't a revelation. It was never part of Muhammad's mantra. It was added later as an introduction. And the 8th surah actually is the second that was allegedly received during the first year of the Islamic era. And since the second surah was, even it was allegedly received over a prolonged period of time, the first official act of the Islamic era, when Muhammad left Mecca in shame following the satanic verses and went to Yathrib, today's Medina, is the, you can't call it a battle of Badr, because there was no battle, but was the terrorist raid at Badr. That's the first official act of Islam. It began there. Is there any way to dispute that?
None whatsoever. Not even a Muslim can dispute it. Well, they can try.
Right.
But they won't succeed.
Now, when a Muslim tries to refute it, they most often will say that that Muhammad was fighting to save his followers from religious persecution, and that his adversaries had formed a collective confederacy and were attacking them, and so it was Muhammad's duty to protect the believers. Is there any truth whatsoever in that statement?
Not even according to the hadith. Not according.
Correct.
Not even according to their own scripture. That's not true.
Correct. That is right. Not even according to the only witness we have of what occurred is found in the hadith. The Quran corroborates the hadith. The Quran itself, by the way, is hadith. It's oral reports from Muhammad and his companions. They're all hadith. But the Quran cannot even be understood. It has no context. It has no chronology. You don't have a prayer of being a Muslim. You don't have any idea who Allah is, Ar-Rahman is, Muhammad is, what Islam is, what it means to be a Muslim. Without the hadith, you got nothing in Islam. And the hadith are consistent that Muhammad was never, ever attacked. His followers were not attacked in Mecca, and that they perpetrated the first blow, and the first blow was at Badr.
The only reason it appears in chapter 8 is to sanctify his action, to give them a divine reason of why he went to war to ambush his own group, which is the Quraysh. The Quraysh had every chance to murder him any time they wanted to, but they never did. They honestly, truly believed he was a possessed man, possessed by the jinn, that is, by the devil, or something like equivalent to the devil. That's why they never touched him.
Right. Now, you and I both have a difficulty in communicating in English, using English words that actually miscommunicate the intent and nature of the attack. Muhammad really didn't go to war against the civilian population of Mecca. He terrorized them.
Correct. Yes, pure terror. Pure. They have been using terror for 1,400 years,
right,
starting with Muhammad. It was always terror.
Right.
It was never negotiation.
The first official act, actually the first official act of the Islamic era, is a declaration of war. It's just that that Muslims didn't actually perpetrate a war until after Muhammad's death. Every one of the 70-some-odd raids that were inspired by Muhammad in the first 10 years of the Islamic era, every one of them was a terrorist raid for the purpose of plunder and terrorizing people into submission to the religion. So we will. The first official act is the Pledge of Aqaba. That was a declaration of war against all humankind. But after that declaration of war against all humankind, Muhammad himself never led an army and never fought an army. Isn't that true?
Correct. They never fought an army until after the death of Muhammad. And after the death of Muhammad, they had 2 years of exterminating all opposition in the Arabian Peninsula. And when they united everybody under the terror of Islam, they started conquering other parts of the world, starting with the Byzantine Christian Empire.
In matter of fact, it's interesting. According to Tabari, who is Islam's most credible and earliest historian, and his Tariq, he calls the battle for the control of Arabia the war of compulsion.
Yes, it was a Ridda war. In Arabic, Ridda, the war of apostasy. It was to subjugate Muslims who converted to Islam under terror under Muhammad, and the day he died, the instant he died, the instant they found out he was dead, they left Islam.
Right.
So Abu Bakr, the Khalifa, the first ruler of Islam after Muhammad, decided that no one can leave Islam. And for 2 years he had them murdered, slaughtered, until the Arabian Peninsula became Islamic.
Yes. As a matter of fact, in the fourth surah of the Quran, which is a surah devoted to telling Muslims that Allah and Muhammad's orders are one and the same, and that if you do not follow Muhammad's and Allah's orders, that Allah is going to see to it that Allah is going to see to it that good Muslims kill you. And Quran 480 actually orders Muslims to kill anyone who wants to leave the religion. It's kind of like the mafia. You can't leave unless you're going to be toes up, 6 feet under. The only way out is to die, to be killed. That not only that they must follow Allah's orders, but that any Muslim who contradicts anything Muhammad or Allah says is going to be tortured throughout eternity by Allah in hell.
May I point something out?
Yes.
One of the most important items that escapes the limited intellect of Muslims and their apologists is the fact that it was during the Medina period of so-called revelations in almost 28 chapters that Muhammad repeatedly twinned and associated himself with Allah, literally making Muhammad Allah and Allah equal, which of course they were and are, this Muhammad is Allah in disguise. Chapter 8 is the first one, and there are verses in chapter 8, verses 13, 20, 24, 27, 41, 46, 64, 71, that it says, if you do not follow Allah and Muhammad, always Allah and Muhammad, you end up in hell.
Correct. And Muhammad had a single mantra for his entire life. I mean, all Muhammad cared about is that you as a Muslim would fight for him to secure booty, to secure stolen properties through the slave trade, through kidnapping, through armed robbery, and that he would get 20% personally of whatever his crime syndicate stole. And beyond that, Muhammad doesn't have a whole lot to say.
Correct. But to be fair, the 20% was to be shared by him and Allah. But as we know, Allah did not put his hand in the till, so it belonged only to Muhammad.
You know, I read this morning before the program, the fourth surah. And I've never seen it quite this bluntly before. But really, the fourth surah exists for only, it really says only two things. One, it says that Muhammad and Allah are one. Repeatedly, it constantly unifies Allah and Muhammad, that their orders are one, that they are one. And second, that their one and only objective is to compel Muslims for fear of death to fight and die. Now, it's interesting. They're threatening to kill them unless they fight and die, terrorizing people, robbing people, plundering people for Muhammad.
Correct. The irony is this. They tell us, the Muslims and their apologists, including Obama and all the leaders of the West, that Islam means peace and Allah is the same as the God of the Bible.
Yeah.
Well, if Allah is the same as the God of the Bible, Allah predestined 80% of current humanity to be infidels, so that 20% of humanity who belong to the followers of Muhammad would terrorize them into subjugation, into plunder, or to exterminate them. I can't see where the compassion is in Allah.
No, it's almost hilarious when somebody makes the claim that it's the same God, and you say, oh, gee, so why is the God of the Quran, since the Quran is actually written in Hebrew, why, since it's comprised with the Hebrew alphabet, since most of the important words in the Quran, almost all of them are actually Hebrew, why doesn't the God of the Quran share the same name as the God of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms? And that's Yahweh. Oops. We'll be back with IQ al-Rasuli after the commercial break. We're having a conversation with IQ al-Rasuli, demonstrating, proving. And I'd pay any Muslim $1 million if they could refute anything that we're saying. But the fact is that Islam was conceived as, became, remains, and is documented as an international crime syndicate. And it condones and perpetrates all manner of criminal activity, including fraud, theft, adultery, sexual abuse, genital mutilation, pedophilia, rape, terrorism, armed robbery, mass murder, kidnapping, the slave trade, forced prostitution, you name it. In fact, to compare Islam to the mafia is to besmirch the mafia. IQ?
I agree. The mafia compared to Islam is nothing. Literally nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah, they're a bunch of boys only, with a bad attitude.
Yeah, literally. There is no comparison.
No.
Same thing when I say that comparing Hitler to Muhammad is like comparing Mother Teresa.
Yes,
Mother
exactly.
Teresa is Hitler. Muhammad is completely different, in a different level of depravity.
You know, in the mafia, they do not condone rape. You're a rapist in the mafia, man. They will tear you apart. In the mafia, they will not tolerate discrimination against women. In the mafia, they will not tolerate pedophilia. Well, the mafia will engage in armed robbery. They'll engage in forced taxation. But the mafia very seldom ever engages in terrorism. They don't terrorize civilians. They terrorize rival armed robbers. And they kill those that would compete with them as armed robbers. They don't terrorize civilians.
Well, ISIS is the quintessential Islam. ISIS is Islam. ISIS is Muhammad. they do exactly what Muhammad has asked them to do or ordered them to do in his Quran. Letter by letter, word by word, verse by verse, and chapter by chapter.
Correct.
That is Islam.
Right. Kidnap, slave trade, forced to prostitution.
Mass rape, murder, butchering, mass murder, beheading, impaling, everything. That's Islam.
Yeah, it's exactly what Muhammad did. And what we need to do is to correct people's perception of Islam so they don't look at it as being an Abrahamic religion, a religion of peace, a religion where the most people are moderate, peaceful, good people, and that just a few have corrupted their religion, to the realization that at its core, it was founded as a crime syndicate, and that it is the most ruthless crime syndicate ever foisted on humanity. And it remains an incredible blight on mankind. Is there any majority Islamic country that isn't depraved and without human rights?
There isn't. They never existed. They can't exist. Sharia is the nemesis of democracy. Sharia is the enemy of everything to do with human freedom. Any form of human freedom. After all, Sharia discriminates against 50% of the female population of Islam, which are 750 million women, who are treated one little step higher than domestic animals. In fact, they treat domestic animals better than women.
Yeah, because Sharia is based upon Muhammad's behavior, it condones rape, condones pedophilia, condones armed robbery, condones bearing false witness. It condones the slave trade. It condones decapitation. It condones terrorism. It condones all of this stuff. So there is no Islamic society that can be civil.
There never was. Only in the imagination of Western historians, when they speak about Islamic civilization, there was never, ever an Islamic civilization. There were civilizations under the rule of Islam, but that's not the same thing. Why? Because under Sharia, you cannot investigate science. You cannot go into the arts. You cannot go into music. You can only stick to the Quran and Muhammad Sunnah and nothing else. There never was an Islamic civilization. Full stop.
You know, as a matter of fact, what's called the golden era of Islam is only a golden era because it was in the 100 years immediately after Muhammad's death where Muslims became the most ruthless barbarians on the planet and far more ruthless than ever were the marauding hordes of Mongolians under Kublai Khan or Genghis Khan. They effectively raided what was now a debilitated world. You know, Rome had fallen, Greece had fallen, Egypt had fallen, Persia had fallen. And so they raided the world in the midst of the Dark Ages, and they plundered everyone. And the gold is the gold that they stole. It's not something that they produced. It's not an economic gain from Islam. It's strictly plunder. Welcome back to Sharia's. Once Islam is correctly defined as a crime syndicate, and it's known that Islam in its foundation, in its formation, that the Islam of Sharia, the Islam of the Quran, the Islam of the Hadith, the Islam of Muhammad was nothing more than a crime syndicate. Nothing more. I mean, literally, nothing more than a crime syndicate. Then Islam can be declared illegal, banned, and it can be isolated. And that really is the only hope, isn't it, IQ?
It is, if we have the people who have the brains to, and the will, to go ahead and do it.
And yet, what we find is just the opposite. For example, in Germany, one of Germany's most famous landmarks, the Cologne Cathedral, is plunging itself into darkness in support of Muslims. Because of the popularity, the growing popularity, 1 in 8 Germans is either participating in or are supportive of the marches against the growing influence of Muslims in Germany. And they've here you've got Christians in support of a crime syndicate.
Well, the Pope is in support of the crime syndicate also.
Correct. Yeah,
I'm sorry to say, but that's a fact.
Yeah, he is. and the Pope before him and the Pope before him.
Yes, all of them. Amazing. The same Muslims who are eradicating the Christian Catholics in my country and the Middle East and all over the world are supported by the Pope or the Popes. Yes.
Amazing. And also Protestant Christianity. There's really no divide here. You've got Rich Warren here in the United States that's written a book called Chrislam, blending together Christianity and Islam. And other than the fact that both of their founders, Paul and Muhammad, were both demon-possessed and contradictory and savages, they really have nothing in common.
None. How anybody with two brain cells of logic can write a book about Christian Islam, I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah, you can't do it. I mean, the only way that you can do it is if your goal is to become popular by promoting lies. People are much more susceptible to lies than they are the truth. The truth today is highly unpopular, where if you want to be popular, you want to win an election, for example, the only way you're going to do it is to have almost every word you speak be dishonest, a lie.
Correct. That's what we have Obama for.
Yes. And Bush before him.
Whatever.
Almost everything both men said was a lie. And you know, whoever occupies the White House coming forward, we're going to find exactly the same thing. Nothing but a pile of lies. The truth regarding Islam, just a declaration that Islam is a mass murdering, terrorizing, kidnapping, beheading, ruthless, sexually perverted institution. And that's how it was founded, that's how it will always be. That ought to be enough to get people to say, you know, we ought not support this. We ought to liberate people from it.
Well, the Chancellor of Germany, Merkel,
yes,
is demonizing Pegida, which is the European movement against Islamization of Europe, mm-hmm. and calling them racist. And that's the head of Germany.
Right. Now, so, when we expose and condemn Islam using Islam's own scriptures, is there any racist element to that?
It can't be. First of all, it's not racism to expose the fact and the truth. Second of all, Islam is not a race.
Right.
Exactly. End of conversation. Islam is not a race, so we're not attacking any racial group. Islam contains every racial group, every ethnic group, every color, every nationality. So it's not a race. It's a belief system. It's a cult belief system.
Yeah, are the Germans saying we're not going to accept any Christian Africans into Germany? Are they protesting against Christian Africans?
No.
Are they
only Muslims.
Protesting against Christian Arabs, of which there are still some?
No.
Does the movement say we're not going to take any Indonesians into Germany?
If they are Muslim, they shouldn't take them.
That's right. Only if they're Muslim. The defining factor is the religion, not the race. But
correct. It's a belief system. It's a belief system. It's not even a religion. I don't care how anybody slices it. Islam is not a religion. Why? Yeah. Usually religion is associated with the divine. Islam is not with the divine. It's with Muhammad. It's a cult belief system.
Right. Yeah. My view is that all religions are cult systems and that they all focus on an individual. Christianity is on Paul. Islam is on Muhammad. Judaism is on Akiba. It's almost always, you know, Confucianism is on Confucius. Buddhism is on Buddha. They're almost all cult systems focused on an individual. Even in socialist secular humanism, you know, the gods become the likes of Mao and Lenin and Marx and even Darwin. So that's pretty much universal in man's belief systems. But the fact of the matter is that Islam masquerades as a religion. It masquerades as a religion. It masquerades as people following God when, in fact, the God of the Quran is Muhammad.
Yeah. In a nutshell, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Everything about Islam is masquerade. Everything about Islam is deception. Every single item I've studied about Islam is deception. I tried my best in 30 years to find the redeeming characteristic anywhere in the Quran. Couldn't.
Yeah. And by the way, the deception in the Quran, it is so stupid. I mean, you have to be an absolute moron to be a Muslim. And if you have any concept of human history, of any capability of reason and logic, you can't be a Muslim. You can't be an informed, rational Muslim. Islam is the dumbest religion, the dumbest fraud, the dumbest cult system ever perpetrated. It's dumber than Scientology. It's dumber than Mormonism. I mean, Mormonism and Scientology, I mean, are really stupid. But Islam is the dumbest cult system ever perpetrated on humanity. You have to be a complete idiot to be a Muslim, or completely ignorant, or completely irrational.
But you have 1.5 billion irrational human beings called Muslims. They are irrational. It is impossible for a Muslim, a believing Muslim, to have two brain cells of logic. It is impossible.
Right. When the Quran says that it confirms the Torah, and the Torah and the Quran are opposites, you either have to be ignorant of the Torah, or you have to be irrational to be a Muslim. When the Quran claims that the God of Islam is Ar-Rahman, then changes its mind to say that the God of Islam is Allah, and then it says that the God of Islam is the same as the God of the Torah, who's Yahweh, you either have to be ignorant or irrational. When the Quran says that the finest, the most important thing you can do to earn a reward with Allah is to go kill for him, you've got to be immoral to be a Muslim.
But they are immoral. They are irrational. Even the most educated so-called scholars of Islam, they're not stupid. They are completely out of touch with reality. They're completely brainwashed. Whether self-brainwashed or how brainwashed from the outside, I cannot figure out. But many of the greatest, take a Suyuti, one of the greatest authorities on Islam, and he's telling his own way that the Muslim man, when he goes to Muhammad's whorehouse version of paradise, has an erection, permanent erection. I mean, for goodness sake. This guy is a philosopher, a theologian. And he can talk like that.
Yeah, can you tell me how it's even remotely possible that you can have eternal life with a physical body? Do you have any concept of the law of thermodynamics? Do you have any concept of the relationship between matter and energy, and to realize that it is not possible to have eternal life in a physical body? Bodily resurrection is absolutely stupid. It's not possible. Wake up, folks.
But we're not discussing bodily resurrection. We are talking now the spirit.
Spirits don't have physical manifestation. So
absolutely.
This whole idea that the reward in heaven for a Muslim is perpetual virgins and a perpetual erection for the perpetual virgins is moronic, because in eternity, in an afterlife, all you've got is your soul. Your soul does not have physical properties. The physical resurrection of a body is an absolute impossibility. Cannot occur, will not occur, and it is incompatible with eternity.
Okay.
All things decay.
Try to explain that to a Muslim. Try to explain that to a Muslim. He will laugh you out of the door.
Right.
Because
right,
in their warped mind, and it is a diseased mind, it really is a diseased mind, that the spirit of the Shaheed can have sex, can eat, can drink, whatever was prohibited on earth in the afterlife. Okay. Well, you've got to be a sick mind. You accept that.
Of course. Or this idea that the Quran says that Allah's angels at Badr extracted the souls of those who Muhammad bludgeoned and murdered, and that after the souls were extracted by Allah's angels, that the physical bodies of the victims were then physically abused. Wait a minute. If you're extracting the soul, then the body's irrelevant. if you've got a soul, you can't physically abuse them on their backs, their heads, and whatever else the Quran specifies. Happens, it is so stupid, it hurts. You have to be a moron. And the reason this is important, the reason it's important for people to realize that the Quran is the dumbest book ever written, is that once you recognize that there's not any part of it that's true, there's no part of it that's beneficial, then why not just simply focus on its core, which is the crime syndicate?
And that's what it is, only a crime syndicate. Forget everything else.
Right.
All the other promises that Muhammad made to his followers was so that they die for him.
Correct.
Only to die for him. That's it.
Right. Right. In fact, the fourth surah repeats that over and over and over again. Is that if you are unwilling to die fighting, robbing, terrorizing for Muhammad, then Muslims are going to kill you, and that your God is going to torture you forever in hell. But if you die fighting for Muhammad, plundering, terrorizing for Muhammad, then you get the brothels. Yeah, right. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're having a conversation with IQ al-Rasuli, the foremost expert on Islam. Once Islam is properly defined, once it's known that the Quran is the dumbest book ever written, that it's wrong historically, scientifically, morally, and every possible way, and it's internally contradictory, and that Muhammad conceived Islam for one purpose, which was to enrich himself, and that everything in the Quran and Hadith affirm this, and that Allah and Muhammad are one, that it's a cult of personality. Once that's done, then what would stop informed and rational nations from declaring Islam illegal, from criminalizing participation in the religion, from banning it and isolating it, no longer selling any, making it a crime to sell any weapons to a Muslim, to an Islamic country?
I agree with everything you said. The only trouble is, who is going to implement these facts and realities?
Who's going to accept the truth? Who's going to respond to the truth?
Which leader, leader in this world, which leader in this demonic world at the moment will deal with Islam the way we're talking about? Although what we are saying, what you are saying, is absolute truth.
Right.
Cannot be contested, not by a Muslim or by a non-Muslim. Right. Cannot be contested.
Right. Yeah, it's irrefutable. It's undeniable, irrefutable. Beyond any doubt, what we're saying is true, that Islam is a international crime syndicate. It was born that way. It remains that. It is nothing more than that. That's just it. And therefore, would you praise or consider moral a leader who decided that, you know, what the mafia doesn't have is enough weapons? If we only gave the mafia $100 billion worth of the most sophisticated weapon systems, that the world would be more at peace. What would you say to such a leader?
Well, I would execute him. I wouldn't say anything to him.
So when the United States sells $100 billion a year of weapons to Islamic nations and arms Muslim Mujahideen in Syria and in Iraq, what should be our response?
Yes, but it's not only America, for goodness sake.
That's
it's
true.
Like France and Germany and Japan and the Soviet, Russia and China and everybody. They're all in for the money.
Right.
They don't talk about morality or justice. There's nothing. It's to do with money.
Yes.
The military industrial complex.
And power. Because once you've sold your weapon systems to a country, because those weapon systems are so sophisticated, and because most of the countries that buy them cannot maintain them, they cannot deploy them, the countries that spend hundreds of billions of dollars become clients. So it's not just about the money, it's about control.
Okay. But nonetheless, it's nothing to do with morality or justice.
Correct.
And our objective is morality and justice.
Right.
We can't get it.
The very survival of humankind.
Correct.
And by the way, by not declaring Islam a crime syndicate, and not dealing with Islam in the sense of criminalizing it and isolating it, no longer doing any business with it and not allowing it, because it is a crime syndicate promoting all manner of repulsive behaviors, mankind is going to destroy itself.
We are. I honestly don't think 2015 is going to be better than 2014. In fact, in my not so humble opinion, 2015 is going to be a catastrophic year economically, especially in the United States of America. Yeah. The bubble is going to burst.
Yeah. And by the way, I think that if you were to go out a decade, that what we're seeing in Iraq and Syria now and in Yemen and in Libya and in Nigeria, that what we're seeing bubble up throughout the Islamic world, rather than being more constrained, is going to become exponentially worse. And that Islam is ultimately going to explode, and the explosion of Islam, rage and violence and militarism, is ultimately going to set the entire world ablaze.
Yes, Europe is not going to get out of it. America is not going to be out of it. Internally, both in Europe and America, the Muslims will act, and they will act catastrophically.
Yeah, and what Islam does not do, the abominators' belligerence against both Russia and China has turned the world into the most dangerous position, the most dangerous place it has ever been.
Correct. But worse than when under the Soviet Union.
Yes.
Worse. Than under the Soviet Union.
Or worse than under Mao Zedong during
correct.
The Korean War.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. America's relations with China, America's relations with Russia are worse than they have ever been. And then you have to augment that with the explosion of Islam, Islamic violence, and us arming and equipping it. IQ, I want to appreciate you for all
thank
of
you,
the great
sir.
Work you do. You're a fine man.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.